That's pretty incredible. Yeah. How's Leroy? He gets to do it tomorrow. Well, good. Where and when? 11:30 tomorrow morning at Mercy. Okay. 11:30 tomorrow morning at Mercy. That's a good thing. Yeah, well, good deal. Good deal. And did y'all have a new grandchild? Well, how about that? Yeah. Well, good for y'all. I don't know. What did I say? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's all right. That's all right. Well, that shouldn't stop them from coming. I mean, what? Did I? Yeah, I got another one. I got one on the way, too. If it comes on Sunday, we won't be here. You got one coming? Good night. Is there something in the water? Good grief. That's a bunch. That's a bunch. Yeah. Yeah. You got one coming, too? Y'all got one coming? A great grandbaby. Yeah, I'm not that old yet. Yeah. 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 Kathy says, I'm not old. We just started late is the problem. And yes, and yes. That is correct. That is correct. Yeah, it must be something in the water then. Now, yours was a great-grandbaby also? Yeah. How about that? Well, I would say that that's not saying much, but that's okay. Yeah. Mine will have two. If they've got any, they will have also. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I came out bald, just slicker than a bowling ball, and I'll go to my grave bald, just slicker than a bowling ball. That's how that works. Okay. Well, how about that? Well, congratulations to all of y'all, and all the way back in the back, congratulations to y'all as well. So we got some new ones coming, new ones on the way. Well, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. So we're glad to have everybody here tonight. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your desire to study and to learn more. Yes, ma'am, you got something.
Beverly Thomas's brother Chris passed away in his sleep last night.
Last night. Uh-huh. Beverly Thomas's brother?
Chris.
Okay. Beverly Thomas's brother, Chris. Last night in his sleep. Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, we hate to hear that. But we're glad about these new expecting moms. Here we go. Here we go. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel today, if you hadn't already figured that out. And we're going to be talking about Daniel and this new king. And this new king desires to promote Daniel. Now, in that desire to promote Daniel, the others who are of the king's council, they don't like that very much. And they probably don't like it because Daniel is a Jew. That's probably the reason that they don't want someone that's not one of them to be promoted over them. And so that's probably the reason, and we'll look at that here in just a few minutes. But as we look at it, realize that they are jealous of Daniel's success. That's what that's all about. Now, as we look at this, when the Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonian Empire, and remember when we covered that last week, we were just talking about two verses. And in those two verses, it covers so much information that is incredibly important to those of that ancient world, the Babylonian Empire, the fall of the Babylonian Empire. And remember how they did it? That the Euphrates River ran underneath the walls of Babylon. And so what they did is they dammed up the Euphrates River and they just basically walked in under the wall on dry land. And they had very little resistance. Very little resistance. And they went in, of course, and they killed the king. They tried to absorb the Medes and the Persians, tried to absorb as much of the Babylonian culture and empire government as they possibly could without damaging their own government, empire, culture. And so they tried their best to assimilate them into their culture. Okay? Now, an immediate need for organization was present in the new kingdom. And with that immediate need, Darius appointed 120 satraps, if I said that correctly, over the kingdom. Basically, it was 120 sections over the kingdom that they would be in charge of for the whole kingdom. So he divided it among all these leaders, these satraps. Okay? Now, remember last time I talked to you a little bit about Darius. Darius is not mentioned anywhere else in ancient texts or ancient historical accounts. So we're not exactly sure about him. We're not exactly sure where he came from or anything like that. But the Bible definitely talks about him. So he was the king that took over when Belshazzar was killed. So he took over, okay? This presented some difficulty by dividing the kingdom into 120 different sections. A satrap ruled over an area known as a satrapy. And I don't know if I'm saying these exactly right, but it's close enough. Okay? They ruled over an area known as a satrapy. Herodias mentioned, this is an ancient historian writer, mentioned that under the later rule of Darius I, the king set up 20 satraps in the empire. The Aramaic word translated satrap is apparently used here in a broader sense, encompassing officials of various ranks. Officials of various ranks. The number 120 has been compared to the 127 provinces that is mentioned in Esther, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 8, verse 9. So this is mentioned again in Esther. Yes, sir. Right behind you.
Is Darius God's man?
No.
Those others were not either.
No. Darius is actually from the Persians, from what I understand. But the Medes and the Persians joined together, and Darius was placed as king by the Persian Empire. Okay? Now, again, nobody else talks about it. In any kind of secular history, there's not any mention of him. However, the Bible does mention him, so I would assume that that would be correct. In the empire, the number of provinces far exceeded the number of satrapies. Okay? There's a lot more of them. The text does not reveal how Darius came to know of the reputation of Daniel. Now, this is kind of important here. Again, the biblical text does not tell us about how Daniel became so important to Darius. However, there is quite a bit of indication that Daniel was known by Darius because, remember, when he depicted the writing on the wall, when he interpreted it, and that happened when? The very night that they fell. And so that knowledge would have been pretty prevalent throughout all the kingdom, that that was going to happen, that that had occurred, and that Daniel was the one that did this. Nebuchadnezzar also has something to do with this, I would think, because everything that Nebuchadnezzar did and the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was such a huge king in man's eyes, that the knowledge of Nebuchadnezzar and his association with Daniel could have been widely known throughout the area. So that may be how Darius found out about Daniel, through Nebuchadnezzar, through exactly what happened that night. So that could have all been a possibility. Again, the biblical text does not tell us. So therefore, we can't do anything but kind of speculate on that. But it would be probably pretty easy to find out about Daniel at this point. Okay? He had served under one of the greatest kings in history, Nebuchadnezzar, and also was highly favored under Belshazzar. Darius may have heard about Daniel's part in the handwriting on the wall. That's another way. After the Medo-Persians takeover, Daniel was given a high position in their government. Daniel would have been in his early 80s at that time, if not a little older. Based upon what we know about time charts and things like that, that would have put Daniel probably in his early 80s. Questions? Comments? Like I said, it would have probably been very easy for Darius to have found out about Daniel. Go ahead, Pat.
I can't help but see God working in Daniel's life.
Oh, yes.
Very easily he could have been in bad trouble when all this came about. Mm-hmm. There would be no reason for him to keep Daniel other than his reputation. But this right. This is a whole new deal, and those guys are pretty prideful.
Yes.
And could have just sent him on his way or put him in prison. A sundry of things could have happened, but in my mind, you just see God playing out throughout Daniel's life, mm-hmm. like he does a lot of Christians.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I have told y'all that I've seen in this is the growth in the faith of Daniel, how much faith Daniel had as reading through this. But also, as Pat was bringing up there, I'm seeing as well as how much God is protecting Daniel. And God protected his own. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And we're fixing to show how God protected Daniel from the lions in the lion's den here in just a few minutes. Or next time. Or whenever I get to it. So, just be ready for that. Okay? But yes, God is protecting. God's hand is involved. And yes, as Pat was bringing up, this could have been really easy for them to just killed everybody that was attached to Belshazzar. And them just start over. But as I brought out just a minute ago, one of the things that they wanted to do was they wanted to kind of integrate their culture as well as the Babylonian culture. And so they tried to bring in as much of that together as they possibly could. Remember, the Babylonian Empire at the time of its height was the greatest empire in the world. And so it would be kind of silly for them not to take in some, at least some, of what they had done because they were successful in what they did. Okay? Other comments or questions? But yes, it would have been just as easy for them to have just wiped out everybody. And what we're going to see is that they become extremely, and this brings up the whole situation and the whole problem. They could have easily killed all of them because they were extremely prideful and jealous of anyone outside of their inner circle. So they could have easily done that. All right, good. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom to be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. Now that's important to see this. That's where their jealousy comes from. He's putting a Jew over them. You see that? He's putting a Jew over them. And so Daniel was one of the 3 commissioners who oversaw all these other individuals who were to run the kingdom. So that these satraps would be accountable to them, and that the king would not suffer loss. The 3 individuals that he puts over them realize that they're in charge of them to make sure that they don't do anything wrong or that would hurt the king or the kingdom. They're in charge. Now that kind of goes back to our study on Wednesday night about that unjust steward, you know. We talked about that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up this Wednesday, too, because some of that writing is hard to follow, hard to understand. So we'll talk a little bit more about that on this Wednesday coming up. Okay. All right. Any questions about this? Yes, ma'am.
These guys that were against him, were they... Babylonians or Persians?
They were actually they were Medes/Persians. It doesn't say exactly who they were, but they would have been higher ups because the Medes and the Persians had joined together forces in order to overthrow Babylon, and so they would have been one of the other. No, they would not have been leftovers from the Babylonians. Not this group. Yes,
well, you also have to remember Daniel was still a slave.
Daniel was still a slave. Of course, Daniel was still part of the group that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem. Daniel was still part of that group. So Daniel would have been still a slave. And so you put a slave over everybody. Now, go back in history a little further than this point right here. Remember what happened in Egypt with a man named Joseph? He was a slave. And he was put over everybody. The only one that was over him was the Pharaoh himself. Got one over here. Miss Sue.
Well, for them to come in under the
wall,
and somebody had to get in there and infiltrate that whole outfit to know what was going on, that everybody was drunk as a skunk, and we can get in here and we can wipe them out. While they were also checking that out, they probably found out who was in charge of the brains in there, and it came out to be Daniel.
May have. May very well have. I don't think, and now this is just me, so again, y'all can agree with me or not agree with me, it doesn't matter. But I personally think that Daniel's reputation preceded him, that they kind of knew about Daniel. And like I said, if you go all the way back to Nebuchadnezzar and stuff and everything that he did with Nebuchadnezzar, it would have been very difficult to have hidden all that information from those people, because they would have been aware of that. And your idea of, you know, they would have had spies in among them, they definitely would have had spies in among them. Because how would they have known that they could just dam up the river and just walk across or walk underneath the wall on dry land? And everybody's partying, so there's not even any real guards there to keep them from taking the city. The city fell, basically. As I brought up last time, the city fell basically without a shot. They just marched in and took over. That's how that worked. Okay. All right, verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the other commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king intended to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Again, as Pat brought up just a minute ago, God's hand is there. God's hand is in it. But as you look at that, realize that their jealousy is going to grow bigger and bigger, because here he is again, that enslaved Israelite is about to be put over the entire kingdom. Got one over here. Jules is much faster than Rinda.
And she's prettier.
A lot. A lot.
So am I thinking of somebody else, but didn't Daniel have a choice to leave at one time?
Not that I can recall.
Okay, so
Ezra.
Okay.
Ezra.
I told you I was thinking of somebody.
Yeah, thank you. That was Ezra that had that choice. Daniel did not.
When these Israelites went into captivity, God had told them they were going to be there 70 years. Their 70 years is just about up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually see the hand of God moving in this when he puts Daniel in the position that he puts him in, knowing that he's only going to be there for a short while, and then the Medo-Persians are going to simply turn loose the rest of the Jews and send them back to Jerusalem.
Yep, and that's what they do.
And so you can see the hand of God just as clear in it as could be in it.
Now, one thing we know about history as well is actually the Medo-Persians, they divide again as well. They don't stay as a Medo-Persian empire. They divide again, and they go back their own ways. By the time this ends up, it's the Persians that have control of everything. The Medes had gone their separate ways. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to go now to talk about the plot that they are having against Daniel. Okay? Daniel was faithful to his king. However, he was also faithful to God. Now, this is kind of interesting, because he treats his king, as an earthly king. But God is number one. God is always number one. Think of it in our Tuesday night class that we're talking about with David. How did David treat Saul? As king. But God was always number one. That's a message for us. That's a message for us today. You know, we have rulers and we have presidents and we have governors and we have all these different things. And they deserve the respect we should give them. However, God comes first. God comes first. And I've heard this statement many times before, you know, obey the laws of the land. Y'all have all heard that before. And they say, oh, you should obey the laws of the land. Yes, except. Except. If those laws go against God's laws, then we're not under any obligation to obey them. Does that make sense to everybody? That's something we need to make sure that we don't ever do. For example, if that happened here in the United States, that somebody came in here and said we could not meet together and worship anymore, then we just need to go to the catacombs. Yep, we just need to go to the catacombs just like they did in Rome and just continue on, because that goes against God's law, not man's law. Man's law is not God's law. And so therefore we need to hold fast to what God teaches. Hold fast to that. That's very important. And in this situation, what we're going to see here is that man's law contradicted God's law. Just the exact same way that happened under Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man's law contradicted God's law. And they are under no, zero responsibility to follow that law. That's right. That's exactly right. Because they even asked them, said, whether we should obey man's laws or God's laws, you tell us, you know, which one should we obey? Well, it's always God's law. Always God's law. We're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. And like I said, I don't ever worry about here in the United States somebody coming in here and saying we can't worship anymore. But folks, that happens. That happens. And not here, but overseas it has happened. In my lifetime I've seen it happen. And so realize that those things can happen and do happen. But we just continue on. We will continue. We will continue to meet. We will continue to come together because that's God's law. All right? Same thing that's happening here happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing. There are so many parallels in these two things. We're going to see a bunch of them. The other commissioners sought to make Daniel's integrity before God a crime. Now, how do they do that? They do it by making the king God. You worship the king. You don't worship God. Remember our study of Revelation. What were they doing? They were making the Caesars the gods. You worship the Caesars or you can't go to the marketplace. You worship the Caesars or you can't buy or sell. You worship the Caesars or you don't have anywhere to buy food even. Well, what does God say? Remain faithful because we're going to win. Remain faithful because we're going to win. So, what they seek to do is to make Daniel's integrity before God a crime. Darius appears to have been a man of good character as well. This is kind of interesting because as we read through all this, it looks like that Darius has good intentions in mind. Okay? That's what it looks like. But he's got a group of individuals that definitely do not have good intention in mind that are surrounding him. His prejudices are not revealed. He doesn't have the prejudices against the Jewish nation as these others do. Go ahead. Sure. As Kathy said, these people are trying to trick him, Darius, just like they're trying to trick Daniel. And that's exactly true. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to convince him to do something that he shouldn't be doing. He recognized a valuable asset in Daniel. And he saw him as a man of character. Something for us to follow and to understand. He recognized Daniel as a man of character. One in which he could trust. And that's where they went to. Now the other officials were envious of Daniel. Here we've got a situation where the king is about to make Daniel in charge of everything. So they're envious of Daniel. They were aware not only of Daniel's success, but also of his goodness. They could find no grounds for accusations or evidence of corruption. Who does that sound like? The Sanhedrin? That also sounds like Pilate. Does that not fall right in place with Pilate? Because he could find no fault in this man. None. And he didn't want any part of it. He did not want or wish to at any time. He did not want to or wish to put Jesus to death. And there are at least 7 times in the scripture in which Pilate tries not to do this. Tries to push him away and say no. 7 times in the scripture that we have, and there was probably more than that. So he tries to push him away, tries to say, nope, I'm not any part of this. I don't want any part of this. That's not going to take place. Okay? He could find no grounds for accusations toward Jesus. These satraps could find no grounds for accusation against Daniel because they realize that he's a good man. They realize that he has, he honors their king. He doesn't denounce their king. He follows their king. He realizes that. Their feelings toward Daniel were because of jealousy and racism toward the Jewish people. That's where this all comes about to. Jealousy and racism toward the Jewish people. Okay. Questions or comments?
That kind of helps me better understand why there's such hatred towards the Jews, because the Messiah, whom God chose to come through the Jews, would be the Savior of the word of the world that would get all the attention and all the glory and the praise.
Yeah.
So throughout all history, the Jews has always been a hated people among the nations.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason why of course, at this time, they're God's chosen people. They're the ones that are going to bring about the Messiah. And we're studying in Abraham in my class on Sunday mornings. And in the study of Abraham, you know, we're right at the point where God promises him that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. And that's where we are right now. And so realize that there were no such thing as Jews when Abraham came around. Noah was not a Jew. Adam and Eve were not Jews. There were no Jews. The Jewish nation came about through Abraham. It was them. It was his seed that brought about Jesus. And they were protected. Now, who is God's chosen people today? We are. We are. We are a peculiar people. We are different. We're not the same as everybody else. We today are God's chosen people. The Jews, with the exception of the ones who have accepted, believe in Jesus, those individuals are not part of God's chosen people anymore. If they deny Christ, you cannot be God's chosen people. It cannot happen. Do what? Only through Christ. And remember, there were some that did, because the whole book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. And there are some today. But realize, anyone who rejects Jesus Christ cannot be part of God's people. Cannot. Because there is but one way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Other questions, comments? All right, let's take a look at these two verses. Verse 4 and 5. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel. Okay? Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to determine, how can we get Daniel? And they couldn't find anything. So they're trying to figure out, how are we going to get Daniel? And so they try to find grounds of accusation against Daniel regarding government affairs. Has Daniel done anything against the government? Has Daniel done anything against the king? The answer is no on any of those. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, because he was, Daniel was, trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. They had nothing on him. Just like Pilate with Jesus. Had nothing on him. Okay? Verse 5. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him regarding the law of his God. Now, what's their plan? To make his God illegal. To find some way that we can make his God illegal. And they knew, this is important for us to see, they knew without a shadow of a doubt that Daniel would not do anything against his God. They knew that. And so what do? You make a law that says, basically, you can't do what your God wants you to do. that's where they're going. That's definitely going in the back door. Because they are going to come up with a law that they know that Daniel cannot follow. They know that Daniel will not follow. And the reason they know that is because of what it says there in verse 4, that he is trustworthy, no negligence or corruption would be found in him. Daniel loved God more than he loved the king. Daniel followed God's commands more than he'd followed the king's commands. Questions? Comments? Sure. Sure. All right, let's look at this. The king's decree. The officials took a proposed decree to the king. Now notice this, they came up with a plan. And so they take it to the king. And they knew that Daniel would never submit to this plan. So, when the conspirators approached Darius, they said that their proposal came from all the commissioners of the kingdom. The prefects and the satraps, the high officials, and the governors. Now, I want you to know up front that that was impossible. How many of them were there? 120. Okay? Okay? That would have meant they would have had to get them all together and 100% of them would have said, yes, let's do this. That didn't happen. What we're looking at instead is probably a small group of them got together and said, let's do this. And then they go to the king and they lie to the king and they tell the king that all of the people that you've got running your kingdom said that we want to do this. The commission probably only consulted with those they knew would be in favor of such a decree. Now notice this also. When, about what time of night, did they go get Jesus out of the garden to take him to go get him crucified? Okay? Early in the morning, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Now that was against their rules because anytime they had something like that, it was supposed to be in the daytime, open for all people to see and to witness all these different things. But they only got together those individuals who they knew were going to be on their side. And that's easy to do at 2 o'clock in the morning. Friday night, Kathy and I had some knock-knock ditchers. You know what that is? Ding-dong ditchers, that's when they come and ring your doorbell and then they go run and hide. Happened 3 times. I saw one of them, probably about a 14-year-old boy. Okay? But my problem was not that they were doing it because they were just having fun. My problem was it was 2 o'clock in the daggum morning. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was trying to sleep. That was where my problem was. You know, it's fine if y'all want to play and have fun and stuff. Y'all probably spend the night together and having fun and that's everything. But at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm trying to count cracks in my eyelids. You know, so I'm trying to sleep. Well, they were ringing the doorbell. Of course, they wake me up. And our dogs, boy, they are good watchdogs because they raised up and looked and then they laid back down. Didn't bark, didn't do nothing. And I said, what good are y'all? Yeah. But anyway, realize that when they went to get Jesus, they made sure that only the ones that they wanted to were the ones they called in. Now, there's a good chance that Joseph of Arimathea was not part of that group. There was also a good chance that Nicodemus was not part of that group, even though both of them were Sanhedrins. Okay? So, in this same situation, we've got a group that have come together, and they probably only got the individuals that would be positive towards that to do it. They were not Daniel either, the ones that they got together. That's exactly right. Now, in chapter 5, it indicates that the Babylonians themselves had appealed to the new conqueror to remove some of the foreign religious influences from their city. So that gave them a little bit of political clout. That there were people from Babylon that didn't like all these Jews roaming around in their city. This concern was likely expanded upon the conspirators. They were the ones who were probably doing it. While they had qualified the request, Josephus, the historian writer, the Jewish historian writer, understood the decree to mean that no request, petition, or prayer of any kind could be made for 30 days. No request, petition, or prayer of any kind could be made for 30 days. This decree included making petitions, requests, prayers to their own gods as well. So no God. No God anywhere. No God anywhere for 30 days. Questions or comments?
So would the Jews in this time, would they still be making sacrifices and
yes.
worshiping like they were supposed to?
Yes. Now, not all, okay? Because not all stayed, not all survived, not all of them did that. But, yes, to answer your question, they would have still been under the law, they would have still been doing their sacrifices. And that could have inflamed the Babylonian people because they would have seen those things. They would have seen them still worshiping their God. And they go, we want you to worship our gods. Not your God. We want them to worship our gods. Okay? So that would have inflamed the people. So to answer your question, yes, they would have still been doing that. Okay?
Well, Darius apparently was a good man,
yes.
but he also had an ego, or he would never have gone for that decree.
Sure, sure. And yes, to answer that question, yes, ma'am. Good man, wanted to do what's right, but he was kind of put in a bad position because they told him that all of his commanders, all of the ones that were running his nation, wanted this to happen. He was still king, but that put him in a bad spot. Just like with Pilate, when they told Pilate that Jesus had said that that he was upholding, that he was king, and that they shouldn't be paying taxes, which was a lie. But Pilate was put in a bad position because that was an attack on the Caesar. And so that put Pilate in a bad position.
He really messed up when he took over first by putting all them people in charge.
Yes.
Of something. That's,
yeah.
That was the wrong
yeah.
thing to
With
do.
With no real overseer. with no real overseer. He delegated his authority way too much. Yeah, I've thought that too. All right, verse 6, Daniel chapter 6. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. Now that's a greeting to a king that shows respect. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statue. Now that sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? A statue and enforce an injunction that anyone who offers a prayer to any god or person besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be thrown into the lion's den. Oh, statute, excuse me. I said that wrong, didn't I? Statute. Okay? Not statue, statute. Okay? For 30 days. And if they do, they would be thrown into a lion's den. Now, they know that Daniel's not going to do this. They know that. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it will not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. In other words, we're not going to change this law. This is going to happen for 30 days. And then in verse 9 it says, thereupon King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. All right, questions or comments? We're not quite there yet, but where we're going next week is that Daniel decides that he's not going against God, that he's going to do what God wants him to do. And that's a great message for all of us today. Well, and one of the problems, and Bob brought this up, one of the problems is that I'm not sure how much the king really wanted to be king. He wanted to be king. He wanted to have the power and authority, but he really didn't want to be the one that makes all the decisions. He didn't want to govern. So that's why he divides the kingdom into all these different areas. And that's why he puts all these different people in charge of it. And that's why he's talking about putting Daniel in charge of the whole thing. So he doesn't want to do it. You know? It starts out stroking his ego. That's right. Yeah, and they do like that. And that's exactly what happened. And of course, that makes them easy to convince. When indeed they can just say, yep, let's go ahead and do that. That way I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. All these things are going to take place, but I'm not going to have to make any decision. Makes it pretty simple. We're just going to do it, and I'm not going to make any decision. I'm just going to go do something else. I'm going to drink and party like Belshazzar did. Okay? Other questions or comments? Bob does. Bob has a closing prayer? Okay. All right. Okay, is there anyone here who needs to take the Lord's Supper that was not here this morning? All right, go right on back yonder. And you do it, Tim? Okay, good. Now, Manny said we can't say things with the ER at the end. I'm going to have a problem saying yonder. Yonder. Yonder? Yeah. All right. Father alone. Father alone. All right. Let's stand with our closing song and our closing prayer by Brother Bob.